Five Stones Church thanks you for listening to this message from Pastor Ryan Smith. For more information, events, and the latest news, consider connecting with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Together, we can awaken a generation.
Your adversary's greatest fear is that you discover that this book is more than a religious manual of morality. It is a book of life. It is a book of victory. It is a book of triumph. And it will cause you to live in a way you never thought you could live. It'll put a joy in you you can't find nowhere else. It'll put a peace in your mind you can't find anywhere else, because it transcends everything in your life. Ah, help me, Jesus. Isaiah 55 said it this way. He said, his word proceeds out of his mouth and does not return to him void. Means it will accomplish what he sends it to do. If his word is sent out to accomplish what he said it will do, if I begin to articulate what he said he wanted to do, guess what I'm going to begin to see? Guess what I'm going to begin to evidence and see in life? I'm going to begin to see what I say. Y'all didn't hear me. I'm going to begin to see what I say. What I say right now, I may not see, but if I say it long enough, I'll eventually see it. Because if it is his word, it's not returning void. So if I say over you, you are healed, I'm telling you now, that word is going to take root. It's going to bear some fruit, and your conditions are changing in the name of the Lord. So, well, Pastor, that's way too aggressive. You're right, it is aggressive. But most churches don't want to go there. They'd rather just try to give you a little pat on the back and tell you it's going to get better someday. And they'll line up and be ready to do your funeral. I'm not interested in preaching your funeral. I want to shout when the doctor says, I can't figure out what happened. I want to run down the hallway of the hospital when they say there was a tumor, but I can't find that tumor. I know it was in there. I did the MRI. Where did it go? Somewhere we've got to begin to become assertive with this word and begin to use it, because if I can release this word, what I'm doing when I release the word is I am absolutely drawing heaven into my situation. You say, well, I got a devil standing right in front of me. What do I do? Well, if you start saying the word of God against him, you are going to draw the attention of heaven. Because, see, your complaining never draws God. I'm going to say that again in case you're a little slow of hearing. Complaining never draws God. It'll draw your enemy, but it won't draw God. If you want to attract demonic, complain. Because when you begin to complain, where is my generation I taught this to? Thank you. I knew there was somebody in here I taught that to. Because when you complain, you become the voice of the disempowered. Because what you're saying is, I don't believe this can change. So when you begin to complain, you are saying, this is not going to change. It is not going to get any better. And guess who shows up? Your enemy comes in with both boots, puts them right on your neck, and says, you write about it, it's over. I refuse to say what is not substantiated in Scripture. Okay, I'm going to get in trouble again. Y'all just going to have to love me like I am. Some of you have been with me a long time, and you're just going to have to know this is just me. If you wanted a normal pastor, you should have went to church somewhere else. I can't help it. God thought it was a good idea, Evan, because you need somebody in your life to kick you around a little bit. This book is not a suggestion. Most people treat it like it's a suggestion, like it is open to my interpretation, and say, well, I don't interpret it that way. I interpret it this way. And most of the time when you interpret it loose. You notice that when you interpret Scripture, you never interpret Scripture harder. You always interpret Scripture to be looser for you, less restrictive for you, less binding for you. Oh, y'all just got quiet. You know, if we really look at this, we can look at this and find some loopholes to substantiate our behaviors, because our flesh wants to have the loophole.
So we'll search Scripture to find something that confirms a behavior so that we don't have to change. And you thought you know, that's just Wednesday night. He'll be nice. No, not tonight. This is where we grow up. This ain't Sunday. This is Wednesday. We grow up in here. Because this book has been treated with a level of disrespect. Because we no longer value the authenticity of this book. And so now, when we no longer see it as the inerrant, infallible, incorruptible Word of God, then it's just a book of suggestions and moral codes. And this book, to me, is more than moral codes of right and do not, do this or do that. It's more than that to me. This is the manuscript of my victory over everything I ever face in my life. This book is not a sword that should be held without use. It has to be pulled out and used. And it has to be used in a way that it will modify you first. Because you want to pull it out and modify somebody else's, but okay, y'all got real quiet up in here. You want to pull it out and modify. Let me use the word on her. I'm going to fix her behavior. I'm going to fix her attitude. I'm going to fix that. Sometimes she'll say to me, I didn't want the pastor to come home with me. So I don't need no sermon from you. Y'all thankful you ain't married to me, right? I get it. Because see, this book, it's easy to say I wanted to change their behavior. But the reality is, and I say it all the time, most of the messages I preach in this house are because they're my struggles. I preach from my weaknesses. I preach from what I'm dealing with. Because I feel like if I'm dealing with them and walking them out, there's a pretty good possibility you are too. So you say, well, Pastor, do you have to repent over it? Yeah, because there's no neutral zone with the word. I just said something. There's no neutral. There's no neutral with this word. You either get in it or you get totally out of it. I wish somebody heard what I just said because it's deeper than what you're acting like. This book cannot be a neutral. You cannot approach this as the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, with a neutrality mindset. I want to read this book so it shifts me into a gear of greater obedience, of greater alliance, of greater holiness, of greater purity. I want it to change my life. God knows I can't change myself. I can't modify myself. I can't get myself on the straight and narrow. My willpower is never going to be strong enough. Somewhere I'm going to have to allow this to have a place in my life that becomes more than something I put under my arm so that I have a moral code. God forbid that we come to church with moral codes. I want God to speak to me. I want God to speak to me. Do you know why I do what I do? Well, that's a dangerous question. I do what I do to equip you. And he said he'll take the foolishness of preaching to do it. Speaks highly of my office, doesn't it? He'll take the foolishness of preaching to teach you and talk to you. Here's my thing. If I get the word in my life, then my praise becomes a weapon. We sing that song, My Praise. And y'all jump, right? Y'all spin around, get all happy. Some of you don't, but some of you do. And y'all like, My Praise. You get in it, right? Y'all start shaking fists, right? Do you know that's nothing more than a calisthenic if that word is not basing your praise? You might as well go ahead and do jumping jacks and call it fitness. Because your praise can't be based on emotion. It has to be based on that word. Are you hearing me? Your praise has to be based on who he says he is and what he says he's done. My praise can't be on emotion. My praise would be shallow if it's only based on what I have experienced in my short life. My praise has to be based on who he said he is and what he said he would do. Sometimes our praise is shallow because we're making it a calisthenic or an emotion, and it's got to be the word. Because if you understand this is a sword of the Spirit and it's the word of God, your praise becomes a weapon. Because your praise is not just you lifting your hands every once in a while or clapping every once in a while. Your praise becomes verbal and vocal. I can't tell somebody the word if I don't open my mouth. Jason, I got to tell them. I got to open my mouth. Praise can't be quiet either. What am I saying? I'm saying to you, to be offensive and moving forward in victory, you've got to get this book where you release it out of your mouth. You don't meditate away devils. Are you hearing me? Oh, I want him to leave me alone. So let me think about it. Then you look to see if he went anywhere. He ain't moving till you speak. You say, well, I think maybe if I just lay low, he'll go away. No, he'll stay right where he is. He doesn't move until you tell him. In the authority of the word of God, you've got to get off my porch. You've got to get out of my life. You've got to get out of my money. You've got to get out of my relationships. You've got to get out of my body. You've got to get out of my kids. You've got to get out of my church. And see, when you say it, then you ought to jump into praise right after it. Why should I jump into praise right after it? Because your praise, according to Psalm 22, draws his presence. See, when I say his word, and if I get into praise, Lord, I thank you for that word. I praise you and magnify you for who you said you are. And he is drawn to my praise because he said he inhabits the praise. So now I didn't only say his word. Now I have drawn his presence to my porch. And how many know when his presence shows up, you get bulletproof? Am I right about it? When his presence shows up, you're like, don't you mess with me, devil. How many know when his presence shows up in your life after you spoke the word and you give him glory and praise and the glory of his presence surrounds you, you walking around your chest? I'll snap you in half, devil. Huh? Y'all start acting real charismatic, then y'all like, I told you to get. You know you do that. You know, I know there's some of you in here crazy like that. Because you're like, devil, I told you. I do. I've slammed the door on him. I was preaching one time, the demonic spirits were so heavy in the church, I opened every door, threw everybody out. Ran the devil out. Well, I've done it around here before too, but I was preaching in Ohio. I was like that. It was just such a demonic activity. I said, oh, we starting over. We done all the praise and worship. It's time for me to preach. I said, this is enough. I ain't putting up with this. Open the doors. Now everybody get out. Y'all laughing. Y'all don't understand. I am not playing. I am not going to preach the gospel with a demonic spirit hovering over a room. No, he's there to steal that seed. If I know he's there and I know his intention, then I'm going to plead the blood. I'm going to take authority over it. I'm going to release the word. I'm going to run everything out, come back in with a new posture, and I'm going to decree it and declare it until it moves. Because somebody's going to miss a breakthrough. You say, well, I just thought I'd just coexist with it. God forbid you coexist with a demonic spirit. You know where it is. Get rid of it. You can walk in a place and feel it. Huh? You can walk. You know when you feel like the enemy and the heaviness is around. You know it's there. Do something about it.
Well, I don't want to upset him.
Who taught you that? Who taught you to dance around darkness? Bible said you are light. Put your light right in the middle of that darkness and demand darkness leave. Open your mouth like you know something and say what thus saith God. And when you get done saying what thus saith God, throw yourself a praise party. I don't care if anybody else around there or not. Throw your hands up and say, Lord, I praise you. I magnify. And then his glory is going to come and his presence is going to come. Everybody going to look at you crazy and you're going to go, I don't care. I got victory. You have got to get yourself some boldness in your life. I don't know where you've been going to church, but if you're going to go to church here, you're going to have to be a fighter.
Say, well, Pastor, I came from the old church and they pleaded the blood.
Y'all went to that church, didn't you? Y'all did it like that, didn't you? I just plead the blood. I plead the blood. You know what I'm talking about? Old church did that. You know what? They must have done that. Did they do that at y'all church? Whatever they did, I don't know. I grew up a little later. See, I got into it after they'd kind of calmed some of that down. But we don't do it no more. We don't do it anymore. We don't plead the blood over our kids. We don't plead the blood over anything anymore. Because now we're more educated, more affluent. I'm going to tell you something. The reason some of you are still struggling with the same stuff you've been struggling with for 25 years is because you forgot how to. Yeah, like I'm crazy. My kids ain't no crack house. Huh? They're not no crack house. They're up here praising God and preaching the gospel. You say, well, that must have been coincidence. No! Pleaded the blood! And you want to know something? Mama and I, every single morning, still. We're putting the blood on it. We're putting the blood on their day. Putting the blood on their travel. Putting the blood on their mind. Putting the blood on their life. Because I don't want no weapon formed against them to prosper. If you know the word. And you got some praise about you, your praise ought to walk around and go, I put the blood on that. Y'all think I'm crazy, don't you? Huh? Y'all going to be walking around the house tonight going, just put the blood on it. Just put the blood on it. I know why the old church did it, because they did it from the, you know, where they put the blood on the doorpost. So they went like this, and you know, old Pentecostals like. Yeah, I wish I had somebody around here. Put a little blood on this place. This ain't play. Hey, this ain't a play place. This ain't no play place. This ain't no play place. This is a place where we're postured and positioned to be triumphant and victorious in this house. You're getting battle plans in this house. You'll be instructed in righteousness in this house. You're going to learn how to quote the word. You're going to square your shoulders, point your little nubby finger at the adversary and say, get off my porch. You ain't got no right there. I put the blood on you. I put the blood against you, and I'm going to seal it with praise. Yep. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I don't know about putting the blood on it. Was you here Sunday? Somebody said, well, I wasn't here Sunday. You ought to go listen to it. I had pastors sending me stuff going, I'm glad to hear somebody still preaching the blood. I gotta finish. Okay? Three errors to defeat. You see that on your teaching? This is going to take me 6 months to preach. Y'all going to keep coming back? Because, you know, one of these nights I'm going to have them candy bars. keep coming until I produce them. Okay, follow this with me. I'm gonna give you three things to defend, and I'm going to teach you how to do it. Okay, one, two, and three. You see it? Number one, mind. Number two, heart. Number three, mouth. Mind, heart, mouth. Okay, that went well. You mean I got to defend my mind? Yep. Because you know you got some jacked up thoughts going on in there. Some of you, right? Never mind, I won't go there. That's why Paul said you have to cast down evil imaginations. How do you cast down evil imaginations if you never speak? How do you cast down evil imaginations if you never use the word of God against your errant thoughts? How do you never speak the word against your thoughts? You can't have victory until you speak to your mind. You can't think your mind into alliance. You got to speak to your mind. You got to get a hold of your thoughts. The Bible says, cast down evil imaginations. Every thought except, how do you cast them down? Well, I'm going to wish them away. No, you don't wish them away, honey. You got to say, thought. You say, well, Pastor, that's kind of random. Well, I didn't want to offend you. Lust. You know that girl over there, three cubicles down, don't wear the right kind of clothes. She a Jezebel, and I know it. Oh, was that too personal? Because you know they're going to strut their stuff right by you, and you just a typical man going, I'm a typical man. Then you're going to come in here, and now you're going to feel condemned because I'm talking about it. But see, you don't understand that thought left unattended. That's why Jesus said, if a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes. See, so a thought becomes a deed. Okay, I'll break it this way. A thought becomes an action. You don't do the action and then think about doing it. You think about it, then you do it. Why? Because your thoughts drive your behavior. Are you here? Your thoughts drive your behavior. You can't behave righteous without thinking righteous thoughts. You can't behave holy until you've thought about holiness as your standard. And the enemy knows, as a man thinketh, so he is. So in the culture we live in, there's a lot of loose living. And this is not just a man problem. This is a generational problem for all sexes. And it don't have to be a half-dressed woman. It can be pride, fear, depression, condemnation, guilt. I'll find one, find you where you live. I'll find something. Because it'll get in your thought. You're like, I don't know how to get this victory over my mind. My mind is all wadded up, Pastor. I keep thinking these thoughts. What's wrong with my mind? I'll tell you, your mind operates on a simple law. What you put in it is what you produce. Okay, see how quiet it gets in here? It's like, isn't it about time to go? You got 75-minute service, right? You got to quit. Yeah, I know how much time I got left. Well, Pastor, I don't want to tell you what I'm thinking because if I told you what I'm thinking, you'd think I was struggling. Let me tell you something. If you can't use this book to control your thoughts, I'm wrestling in my mind all the time. Then you're going to need a stronger diet of the word. If you have a hyper, over-sensitive mind thought pattern, you're going to have to get more word, more word, more word. You're going to have to starve off what triggers your victimization, what triggers your fear, what triggers your condemnation. If you don't starve it off, it's going to continue to feed, and you're going to sit right there and feed it and not be able to understand why you ain't got victory. You can't feed fear into your thoughts and expect to not have fear. It's a war. It's a war. One of the greatest battlegrounds of your life is in your mind. Think about it like this. As a man thinketh, let me be gender specific then, as a woman thinketh, so she is. So if you don't like your behavior, you better do an assessment on your thoughts. See how quiet y'all get on me right there? Y'all like, okay, now that got way too sensitive, Pastor. Well, you're talking about the devil, I'll hoot and holler with you all night. We all wrestle right here with condemnation, guilt, fears, all kinds of warfare in our mind. We don't feel good about ourselves. We don't feel pretty enough. We don't feel handsome enough. We don't feel successful enough. We ain't made enough money. We haven't done this. We haven't accomplished that. I was supposed to be this, and I'm not that. You looking at yourself in the mirror going, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I guess I better quit. Because see, if I allow my thoughts to get off the tracks, I don't feel saved. I might have lived real good last week, and then this week I've been struggling in my mind. I don't even feel saved this week. I don't feel sanctified, don't feel separated, don't feel like I got it all together. You know, one week you feel like you got it all together, and the next week feel like the train just went off the tracks. How many know what I'm talking about? Huh? Okay, am I talking to anybody in this room? You ever feel like just one day all four tires are flat? You just stuck. AAA ain't coming. They flat. I'm supposed to be running after God, and I got four flat tires. Am I right? I'm not talking to nobody. I'm not. I know. And God thought it was a good idea for y'all to come tonight. You know what we've lost in the church? And to be honest, I'm closing with this thought. Here's what we've lost in the church. We have become content with four flat tires. We've become content with victimized thought patterns. We have built it into the DNA of our Christianity to be victimized and to tell everybody how bad our life has become. We have built it into our testimony. Instead of talking about the goodness of the Word, the greatness of God, and the glory of Christ. Oh, no, we ain't, no. Let me tell you how bad my story is. Let me tell you what went wrong with my life. And then that's what we rehearse. I have met people, not here. That no matter where you meet them, no matter what day of the week you meet them, it's the same story. I could finish their sentence. Because it's the same sentence for the last 10 years. They got four flat tires. They're stuck in the driveway of the church. And I'm threatening to tow them because they're causing others to be hindered in their movement. Because if this parking lot is full of everybody with flat tires and mentally in the warfare, then we're no longer able to be effective ambassadors of evangelism and hope and help. What we have become is a graveyard for Christians. You'll be surprised, but there are people in this room right now who said, Pastor, I got four flat tires and I don't have anybody to help me. I got a word for you. There's a breath coming through the power of the Holy Ghost to put air back into your tires, but you got to start rolling. You can't sit still and you got to change your confession over your mind. Well, you don't know how bad it is. Excuse me, I'm going to be spiritual. Shut up thy mouth. That was King James. That was King James. Thou shutteth thou mouth. Ryan Smith's translation. Shut up. Because what you're doing is you're continuing to sabotage your own victory because you're not using the word and you're using the past and the perils and the pain of an adversary and you're allowing him to preach louder than the gospel. All right, y'all happy with me? Stand. If you're not, I don't know what you need to do. Woo! I'm not going to lose this battle in my mind. I can have a bad day, but it's not going to last long because I figured out where the delete button is in my mind. Some of you need to rediscover the delete button. Some of you need a system overload, and you need to learn how to shut that sucker down and reboot it because where you are, it's caught, and you just continue to see that thing going around and around and around. Force it down. Shut it down. Pull the plug, and then plug it back in, reboot it, and get back right. I know y'all been with me a little while. What have I taught you? I know that's crazy, but I did it this week. Because every time the enemy starts speaking to me about dysfunctional things and church things and just the junk of life. I walked around the other day going, delete. People are like, what's wrong with him? At least I know where the button is. Leave me alone. My mouth ain't saying nothing. The enemy ain't moving until I start saying the right thing. And sometimes I got to delete what I'm thinking because if I say what I'm thinking, it's going to attract my enemy, not repel my enemy. Okay? Y'all ready to pray about that? I didn't get very far, did I? We're getting ready now. I'm telling you, we got to get ready because you're going to become preachers. Y'all preachers. You're going to walk into your workplace here pretty soon. I don't know if you're ready yet, but you're going to get there. You're going to walk in there, and you're going to hear that coworker, and they're going to yam, 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 yam. And instead of you joining in with a yam, 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 you ain't going to participate no more because you've understood that they are toxifying you. And you keep saying, well, I'm trying to win them, Pastor. You can't win them when you're thinking like them. Oh, Pastor, I'm trying to win them. Yeah, you're right in there with them. Come out from among them. Think different. Think different. We are different. This book makes me different. My relationship with Jesus Christ makes me different. I want to be an offensive believer. Five Stones Church was not created to be reactionary or in a defense mode. We were the ones to storm the garrisons and the portals of hell with those water guns, decreeing and declaring the children of the Most High are here to possess the land. I want to be a great church. I want to be a great church. I don't care if I'm a great preacher. That don't mean nothing to me. I want to be a part of a great church. I want to pastor great people who live triumphantly and victoriously. I'm not saying you're not going to have any problems. But when you have problems, you at least know how to combat them. You don't go out of church for 3 weeks trying to figure out how to get your act together. See, I pastor people, they when they're feeling good, they come to church. And then when they ain't thinking right or things are going wrong or they're feeling beat down, or then they just stay home. Man, I just keep offending you, don't I? I love you. We don't surrender here. We don't surrender. I've been all up in Laura's business. God gave you a beautiful child. And we've been fighting that war right here. And there's some days I'm pretty sure at the hospital she's like, I don't want to see him today. Might have been that after I left. I don't see circumstance. I see providence. I don't see defeat, I see victory. I don't see lack, I see plenty. I don't see anything less than, I see more than. If that offends you, then you go ahead and die with your situation. But if you're going to invite me into your life, I'm not coming there to see what you see. I'm coming there to tell you what he sees about your situation so you can step out of where you are into the arena of faith and speak to it with an authority. Father, we thank you and praise you for this night. We give you glory. Lord, we want to win the battle. We want to be victorious in this spiritual warfare. Lord, we refuse to lose, and we choose to be voices of the Word of God. We choose to take this Word, put it into our heart, that we might speak it with authority and boldness. Lord, help us have a greater desire for your Word. Help us to be divers into your Word. Help us have a diet of your Word so that our thoughts are right. We cast down every evil imagination that exalts itself against the will and the knowledge of your Word, and we declare today we are sanctified.
Five Stones Church thanks you for listening to this message from Pastor Ryan Smith. For more information, events, and the latest news, consider connecting with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Together, we can awaken a generation.